We are not in our study on Psalm 119 this morning. We have a study basically want to deal with the Thanksgiving message this morning. And anybody that doesn't have a handout sheet, anybody here that you don't have a handout sheet? Because we've got some extra ones up here. Okay. Okay, let's bow in a word of prayer before we begin. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this Thanksgiving weekend when we, in a special way in our country, remember the blessings that God has graciously endowed us with. We thank you, Father, most of all, for the riches that we have in Christ. And we thank you, Father, when the storms of life come, as we've just finished singing, we are held by God in the very hands of a sovereign, omnipotent, eternal being. We are kept in his love, in his care, in his grace, in his mercy. And no matter what might happen in this life, that loving, compassionate care never changes. We thank you, Father, for the hope and the security that we have in that, for the comfort that we have in that, for the peace that's in the heart and life of a child of God, because of all the riches that we have in Christ. Father, we thank you for your unspeakable gift of your only begotten Son. And Father, this morning, as we, in a special way, think of Thanksgiving, we pray that we truly might be thankful from the depths of our heart for all that you've done for us personally, spiritually, as a church family. And Lord, you've been good to us, and we praise and thank you. And we trust that we might, as individual families, have have a great weekend as we gather with family and friends. Might we rest again in your wonderful love and care, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, you have an additional few verses in your handout sheet that you were given this morning on a yellow piece of paper. You'll need that yellow piece of paper in a minute. But before we get to the yellow piece of paper, I wanted to start out different this morning. Haven't done this before. I plan to look at four current news items from Friday and Saturday in order to show, in the middle of a world that's in a chaotic, disastrous condition, God enables his people to rest in his omnipotent love and care. I changed my mind this morning. Instead of looking at four, we'll look at one. I think this one will make the point well enough. You probably know that on Saturday, Hamas attacked Israel. Okay? Normally don't deal with this. You understand, right? You've been around here for 40 years. You understand we don't normally do this. But today we will. Hamas attacked Israel yesterday. 7,000 rockets were shot into Israel. There are approximately 650 people killed to this point. The body count will go up. There are over 2,000 people injured, according to the news this morning, and that number will go up. Hamas is a terrorist group funded by Iran. Iran has said all of my lifetime that they would like to blow Israel off the map, totally destroy Israel. And Iran also totally wants to destroy America. They call America the white devil, okay? So that's the plan. The point in bringing that up is this. This world is full of hate. That changes when you come to Christ. Everything changes when you come to Christ. This world is in the most unbelievable disaster and mess. It's beyond comprehension, our current scenario in our world. The good part is, for us as Bible-believing Christians, God takes us out of this world spiritually. He leaves us here physically, but we no longer have to identify with this world physically. We live in the world, I understand. We work in this world, we need money, we have to have a house and a car and clothes and food and all the other things. I understand. But in the middle of what? The terrible environment that we live in, God takes care of us. And you know, when you look at history, in Canada we have enjoyed, and Europe and the Western, Canada, U.S., Western world, we have enjoyed a good bit of peace and freedom. Europe has had two world wars, and the U.S. was involved in that, Canada as well. But basically we've lived in a peaceful country where you could prosper and we could practice our faith as God would have it. But when a person comes to Christ in this world of struggle and turmoil, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, when you become a Bible-believing Christian, and I want you to write this down in your heart and mind, and we've repeated this verse so many times over the years, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, all things have become new. God changes you. Christ changes you. The Holy Spirit changes you when you come to put your faith and trust in Christ. So we don't want to lose sight of that glorious, precious, wonderful truth. Now let's go to the yellow sheet that you have this morning. And before we go to the normal message outline that we have printed, we want to look at the yellow sheet. We have five Bible verses on this sheet, and they all deal with thanks, okay? We want to begin with Ephesians 5:18. And we also want to do one more thing different this morning. I want you to read out loud with me as we read through these verses, okay? Let's read out loud. Ephesians 5:18, first of all. But be filled with the Spirit, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians 4:6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Colossians 3:17. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything give thanks. The will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Hebrews 13:15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Now, these five verses deal with thanks. Going back to Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for all things. Now, listen. What does God intend for you as a Bible-believing Christian? God intends for you to be a thankful person, giving thanks always for all things. All things aren't always good. All things aren't always easy that God allows to come our way as believers. But God has a plan in the middle of all things that he is divinely working out so that you and I, if we have a real walk with the living God, we can be thankful for all things that come our way in life. If you've been around a while, as some of us have been, you've faced many a struggle and a test and a trial in your life to this point. But as a Bible-believing Christian, if you'll allow the Holy Spirit to powerfully work in your heart and life, you are able to give thanks for all things. Philippians 4:6. The Bible says, in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Again, if we are a praying people, that verse hinges on this thing. As a Bible-believing Christian, you need to be a praying Christian, believing God, and then you are able to give thanks for all things. If there's challenges that come, if there are things that trouble you and bother you. And as Pastor James mentioned in the message this morning, you look around in the world and you can be terribly disturbed by everything that's going on. But if by prayer and thanksgiving you let your request for spiritual help and strength in the reality of God's presence with you, you can give thanks in the middle of whatever is going on. There are tons of testimonies of people who have suffered for the cause of Christ in the last 100 and so years of bearing witness to that very truth. Then Colossians 3:17, giving thanks to God and the Father by Christ. Giving thanks, God intends you to be a thankful person. And then 1 Thessalonians 5:18 again, in everything give thanks. It's kind of interesting that God intends for his people to be thankful for everything, no matter what comes. In preparing this message, guess what I had to do? I had to get alone with the Lord, and I had to confess to him how unthankful my life has been. I was convicted by God's Holy Spirit. You, man, you're not a very thankful person in light of what the Word of God teaches. And I hope and pray that you'll take this little sheet with these five verses home today, and you'll put it somewhere where you can read it over a few times a day for the next week. Maybe memorize some of these verses if you haven't already. And maybe the Spirit of God will convict you the same way he convicted me. Not been very thankful. Of course, we're thankful for all the great blessings that God has given us. At the end of the day, of course, we're thankful. But as you go through life day by day, hour by hour, do you remember to be thankful to God for all of the things that he's given to you so graciously? And now I want to spend the next few minutes getting real serious with you. I think preaching time is always serious, but now we're going to be serious with some personal application. I want to talk to the men first, and then I want to talk to the ladies, and then talk to the young people. Husbands, first of all, are you thankful for your wife? No, I want nobody to respond out loud to any of these things I'm going to talk about, okay? Just sit and listen. Husband, are you thankful for your wife? Husband, when is the last time you told your wife you were thankful for her? In some households, the husband does some cooking, wife does some cooking, but primarily, probably the wife does cooking. Husband, do you consistently thank her for the cooking? And how about the cleaning? You know what my wife does every Saturday? They just used to do this when they were young, and so she still does it now that she's old. Dust everything every Saturday. I said, man alive, if I was you, I would dust it once a month. Every Saturday, okay? Have you ever thanked your wife for keeping the house clean? You know, if I was the only guy living in that house, you know how thick the dust might be? Okay. How about the laundry? I don't even know how to turn a washing machine on. I've never done laundry in my life that I can remember in 60-some years of being married. Men, if that's your scenario, have you thanked your wife for doing your laundry for however many years you've been married? When's the last time you thanked your wife for doing laundry? What am I talking about? Just getting down to where we live and being thankful, like the Bible tells us we're to be thankful. Generally, the wife is a predominant caregiver for the kids. Have you thanked your wife for the care given there? A wife often also sets the atmosphere of the home. Now, ladies, and I'm talking to the husbands primarily, but you have a very important part in setting the atmosphere of the home. I trust you're a godly mom, and you set an atmosphere of the presence of God, the worship and the praise of God, a life centered in God. Husband, if you see your wife paying attention to have a spiritual atmosphere in the home, don't forget to thank her for that. Husband, how many things does your wife do for you on a regular basis and in your home on a regular basis that totally go unnoticed? It's just part of her job, right? Are you still thankful? Husband, do you love your wife like Christ loved the church? And in the process of that, thankful for her? And you know, husband, that has to be an unconditional, sacrificial kind of love. If you've been married for a while, your wife hasn't always been 100% easy to get along with. Do you know that? So you know what the husband has to do? Exercise unconditional love, like Christ loved the church, sacrificial love, and be thankful for her. Maybe she's going through a struggle, a tough time for whatever reason. And then husband, as we mentioned, the wife having a part in creating a spiritual atmosphere in the home, how about you contributing to that spiritual atmosphere in the home? Actually contribute to make your home a spiritual place where Christ can be pleased and honored in. And then, husband, when's the last time you gave your wife a big hug and a kiss in the daytime? And just showed your appreciation to her. You'd say, yeah, but if she wasn't so wrinkly, I might. Or if she wasn't whatever else. What does that have to do with it? You don't look the same as you did 50 years ago either. What are we talking about? Showing thankfulness for God's goodness and God's grace and God's mercy. And being thankful to the people that are close to us. Just being thankful. Now to the wife. Are you thankful for your husband? According to the Bible, the husband primarily is responsible for the household. Wife, have you thanked him for the care that he's given over the years, to keep a roof over the head of the family, to keep food on the table, and he's worked hard and planned and whatever else required to keep all things running properly? Have you ever thought to thank him for that? Have you ever thought to thank your husband? And I trust we're talking to saved people here this morning, and that your husband has purposed to be a spiritual leader. Have you thanked your husband for his desire to be the spiritual leader in the home as God intended it to be? Wife, have you thanked your husband for the strength and the stability that he has given to the home? Ladies, I hope you have a husband that is characterized by a meek and a quiet spirit. Are you listening? Ladies, I hope you have that kind of a husband. Husband, I hope you're that kind of a man. A man of a meek and a quiet spirit. Because that's the kind of a spirit that the Lord Jesus Christ had. That is not a spirit of meek. Those are not traits of weakness. Those are traits of strength. And I trust you have that kind of a husband. Have you thanked the Lord for that and for him? In the middle of this calm and meek and quiet spirit, there ought to be a powerful spiritual strength characterizing that. Just being like Jesus. Wife, have you stood beside your husband and worked through the difficult things that he has faced, purposing to fulfill his role, and together that you work through as a family? Just being thankful to each other, standing together. A normal man, a normal Christian man, will work to create an environment of security in the home, to make his home as safe and financially stable as he is able. And wife, have you thanked him for that? One more. Wife, have you thanked your husband for the fact that you're married to an angel? (Clears throat) I've been working at in the last week to convince my wife of that. Men, I hope you try to be really, really Christ-like in your home so that your wife can be thankful for you being there. And I hope, wife, you'll do the same thing I suggested to the husband. That's periodically throughout the week or the day, just come up to your husband, give him a hug and a kiss, and say, I love you. You want to see miracles worked in the home? Start being thankful to each other, husband and wife. Start loving each other like Christ loved the church. In the world, it's a disaster. It's chaos. It's hate. I could stand here for an hour and convince you of that. That's what the world is. God's people are very different than everything going on in this world. And when you become a child of the living God, old things pass away, all things become new. Amen? Amen. And you're thankful, and you're loving to each other, and you're kind, and you're gracious, and you work together to make life work in a wicked, violent, filthy, rotten world. God's people and a Christian home ought to stick out like a lighthouse in the world where we live in. To husband and wife, every action, every word that you speak is a choice. Choose your actions, choose your words carefully, that they be characterized with love and grace and thanks and mercy. Now, young people, are you thankful for your parents? Young people, when's the last time? You young people, you listening? When's the last time you thanked mom and dad for the love and the care that they showed to you? Normal parents bring this little one home from the hospital and spend hours and hours and hours in working and raising that little one to become a young adult that could bring God glory. Young people, kids this morning, when's the last time you thanked mom and dad for all the love and all the care and all the sacrifice that they've shown to you so far in your life? Give thanks. Be thankful. Don't forget the five verses that we read in the beginning. God commands, not an option, commands you to be a loving person, a thankful person, a rejoicing person, a praising person. These are commands in the Bible in the New Testament to the Bible-believing Christian. These are the traits that must characterize your life, or I'm not sure what that is that you're living. In the world, I've said twice already, say it one more time, it's a disaster. But in Christ, old things are passed away, all things have become new. And might I add this just now? It doesn't matter how good your home is right now and how good your fellowship is between husband and wife, it can get better. Do you know that? It can get better. And even if you're old, it can get better. Amen? It can get better. All it needs is two people to take their Bible and start living by what it teaches consistently every day, all day. And you can have a bit of heaven at home. I hope that's what you want. And I hope that's what you create, mom and dad. And you young people, I hope that's what you add to the home. Now let's go to our notes on the white sheet of paper. and we're going to begin looking at Luke chapter 17, where Jesus cleanses 10 lepers. And we're going to have to skip some stuff, or we're not get through the message, so let's just get right down to Luke chapter 17, beginning reading with verse number 11. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, mark that down, and when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed, or they were healed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that returned to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. First of all, going back to verse number 12, Jesus entered a certain village. It seems like he had a divine appointment with 10 lepers. That reminds us of John chapter 4, verse 4, when the Bible says Jesus must needs go through Samaria because Jesus would meet a woman at Jacob's well that needed to be saved. He must needs go through Samaria. And then in Luke chapter 17, verse 12, the lepers stood afar off. Now, why were they standing afar off? Because they being lepers, they were isolated from the community. They had to be quite separated from anybody else because leprosy was so contagious. And it was such an awful disease to have. But from their hearts, they saw Jesus. They saw hope in him. So these 10 lepers cry out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Have mercy. They knew that they were unworthy. Therefore, they use that word mercy. Because mercy is God giving people what they don't deserve. They needed mercy. You and I need God's mercy. They cried out for his mercy. God, help us. We're desperate. We're going to die. We're isolated from the world and from our families. It's an awful life, Lord. Please, please have mercy on us. Let's compare that to Luke chapter 18 and verse 13. And the publican standing afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes to heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified. That's the proper position. Brokenness, humility, crying out to God for mercy. That's where you and I ought to be. We're talking about thankfulness. And if you're unthankful, get down and cry out to God for mercy to help you to be a thankful person as the Word of God teaches us. Then Luke chapter 18 further, Jesus heals a blind beggar near Jericho. And verse 35, it came to pass, as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passed by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him, and that he should hold his peace. And he cried out so much the more, which means he gets louder and louder, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, page 2, verse 41, saying, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. Pleading, Lord, have mercy. Lord, I want to see. Lord, please help me. Verse 42, and Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight. Thy faith has saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. Then going back to our text in Luke chapter 17, verse 14, interesting how Jesus deals with these 10 lepers. And when he saw them, the average person in that day, had they seen this group of 10 lepers, they would have turned the other way and walked far away. But Jesus, when he saw them, that reminds us of when Jesus saw us one day, when Jesus saw you one day, and when Jesus was so kind and so gracious and allowed you to hear the gospel that changed your heart and life and made you a new creature, Jesus saw you one day. How thankful we are, how rejoicing, how much praise there ought to be in our hearts. Jesus passed by your house one day and knocked on your heart's door and saved your soul and made you a new creature and changed your eternal destiny, and your eternal home will be heaven instead of hell. Jesus passed by your house one day. Are you thankful? Verse 43. No, let's go back to verse 42. And Jesus said unto him, "Receive thy sight. Thy faith hath made thee whole." And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. Wow. Is there anything hard for Jesus to do? Is there anything Jesus can't do? Of course not. And then back to Luke 17, verse 14. And when he saw them, he saw them. And notice it kind of interesting how Jesus dealt with them. He says, "Go show yourself unto the priest," which was a normal thing for a leper that had been healed under the Old Testament. "Go show yourself to the priest." They weren't healed yet. He said, "Fellas, go see the priest." And they could have looked around and said, "Look at my leper, look at my hands. Hey, look at your face." As they went, the Lord healed them. What does that show? Are they not exercising faith? Absolutely. Then let's quickly refer to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. Remember there when Naaman was told to go down to the Jordan and dip seven times in the river? 2 Kings 5:14, "And when he went down, he dipped himself seven times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean." It's no secret what God can do. So the next question we ask in our notes, does God always heal? Does God always choose to heal? The answer is no. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, here's the account of the Apostle Paul. "Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given unto me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice," that is, he prayed three times for God to take away this thorn in the flesh. And then Paul goes on, "that it might depart from me." Obviously, he wanted to get rid of this thorn in the flesh, verse 9. "And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." What's Paul saying? Sometimes it's better not to be healed. Sometimes it's better that the power of Christ may rest upon us, that we may experience the very presence of God to be able to go on. As you get older, you younger people, let me tell you what happens when you get older. You've probably heard it from us already. This old physical body slowly starts to break down, get weaker. What's going on? That's the natural process in a Christian's life of God physically preparing you. You're approaching the day when he's going to call you home. Now, I want you to take that thought and look back at what Paul just prayed for. He prayed three times for this thorn in the flesh to be removed, and God says, Paul, I'm not taking it away. I'm going to leave you with a thorn in the flesh. I want you to experience on a daily basis that my grace is sufficient for you to live with this physical infirmity. Are you listening? God said, Paul, I will give you the grace to live with this physical problem, this physical infirmity, to the end of the journey. And you're going to have to depend on me, Paul, for every minute of every hour of every day from here on. You're going to have to run on my strength to keep on making it day after day. Us older folks, are you there? Are you there? Where you have to depend on the Lord for your strength every minute of every hour of every day? Because God wants you to experience that His grace and His provision, whatever you need to make it from here till the end of your journey, God will graciously provide it to you. One day at a time, 1 hour at a time, and even 1 minute at a time. Now going back again to Luke chapter 17, verse 15. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God. And he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Now, what do you know about people that have experienced the gracious hand of healing from God? This guy in verse 15, he cried with a loud voice, hey, just a minute, calm down, man. We don't want you making so much noise. He didn't care, did he? What had happened in his heart and in his life was so great, he wanted the world to know. I hope that you're living the kind of Christianity today that is so great that as God gives you the opportunity, you want the world to know what's in your heart and the great salvation that God has graciously provided for you. Let the world know, man. This world is in a disastrous condition. This world needs men and women who are born again of the Spirit of God to let their light shine for Christ, so that this world can see what a difference Jesus makes in the heart and life. And then verse 16, we notice that this Samaritan that was healed from his leprosy, he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. I want you to picture that. Here's Jesus standing there, and this guy that was healed, with a loud voice, praising, thanking, glorifying God, he physically falls down on his face at Jesus' feet and thanks him. When's the last time you fell down at Jesus' feet and thanked him? First of all, for salvation, and secondly, for his gracious provisions as you've walked the road of life. When's the last time? When's the last time? God intends his people to be a thankful people. Show it daily. Show it daily. Practice it. Be known as a thankful people. Let's jump ahead to page 3. We've got to skip some stuff here. You can read the rest of those notes in between at home. Let's drop down on page 3 to Luke chapter 17, verse 17. After this man now has come and fallen at Jesus' feet, he says this. Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Do you see a sad note in this story? You see a sad note? Those 10 lepers, when they saw Jesus pass by, they all cried out for mercy. They all cried out, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on us." And he showed them mercy, and he healed all 10. And only one came back and thanked God for his unspeakable act of kindness and love and grace, and only one came back, only one was thankful. Is that where we live even today? What does Jesus ask? Were there not 10 cleansed? Were there not 10 cleansed? Then Jesus said, "Where are the 9? Where are the 9? If Jesus was standing here behind this pulpit this morning, would he identify you with the one who came back to give thanks, or would you stand with the 9? You have taken the riches of God's grace. You have taken the rich blessings that God has showered on you every day that you've lived thus far, and you scarcely stop to think, "Oh God, you blessed me with so many riches." You take them all for granted. You're not thankful. Which group do you stand with? The 1 or the 9? How thankful are you? I dare say, if you would become a thankful person and start thanking the people around you that you can physically see, your wife, your husband, and the kids, their parents, and maybe the parents, the kids, and vice versa, and the people at church, I dare say, if we would start being a more thankful people, I'd have a big part in making us more Christ-like and allowing God's Holy Spirit to work in us in a more powerful, wonderful way. Be a thankful people. Then Jesus said to him in verse 19 at Luke chapter 17, "Arise and go thy way. Thy faith has made thee whole." Your faith made you whole. If you go to page 4 of our notes, you have Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. "Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." You cannot live the Christian life without exercising faith. You simply have to believe God. Did God not promise to take care of you and I, his people? Did God not promise to walk with us every day of our life as we make our journey down the road of life? Did God not promise to be with us and to meet every need as God's people? Of course he did. Trust him, man. Trust him, ma'am. Trust him, young people. Walk by faith and not by sight. If you walk by faith, you can look at what's going on around us. I've told you dozens of times in this church, I'm a realist. I want to look at what's really going on. I want to see what's really happening. I want to know. And then if I walk by faith, doesn't bother me. Not that I don't care, but I'm not going to be destroyed and wrecked and ruined spiritually by what's going on around me. By faith, I'm going to look to my Heavenly Father, who's made promise after promise to me, and I'm going to live my life by faith. Remember the verse that we read in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, a few minutes ago, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Remember that? when you're tempted to be burdened down or worried with the things that you're facing in life, what does the Bible tell you to do? Pray. That's it. Pray and give thanks. Just pray and give thanks. I want to read one more passage of Scripture from our notes. Remember back in Luke chapter 17, verse 17, where Jesus asked, where are the nine? Let's read Psalm 106, beginning with verse number 10. This describes Israel's history after they've come out of Egypt and crossed the Red Sea. They're in the wilderness, and Psalm 106 is a recount of that history beginning in verse number 10. And the psalmist says, and he saved them from the hand of him that hated them, that is the Egyptians, and redeemed them from the hand of their enemy. And the waters covered their enemies. There was not one of them left. Verse 12. Then believed they his word, and they sang his praises. Remember that in Exodus chapter 15? How graciously God had helped. But look at verse 13. This is a sad one. They soon forgot his works. They waited not for his counsel. What happened after they soon forgot? Verse 14. But lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. They soon forgot. Are you guilty of soon forgetting how gracious God has dealt with you in your life thus far? That's not a good sign. Please, this morning, take inventory of your conduct before God. Don't forget how gracious God has been to you. Become a thankful person. Be like that one Samaritan that was cleansed. And today, make your way back to Jesus. Today, you fall at Jesus' feet. Today, you be broken before him and confess the fact, I haven't been very thankful, Lord, as I look at my life. I just haven't been a very thankful person. And Lord, from this day on, God, you're helping me. I want to be a person characterized by being thankful. That would please and glorify God, and you would be fulfilling the five verses that we read at the beginning. May God be gracious and help us. Let's close in a word of prayer.